And at the second coming of Christ, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." At the second coming of Christ, the Bible teaches that in the days leading up to that, it will be like it was in the days of Noah, and it will be like it was in the days of Lot. This passage in Luke 17 contains the famous scriptures about the rapture, where it talks about two being in the field, one taken and the other left, two women grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. That passage about the rapture in context is compared to the days of Noah when the flood came and destroyed them all, and the days of Lot when fire and brimstone rained down from heaven and destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is referring to the fact that the day that the rapture takes place, it will rain fire and brimstone upon the earth, according to the Bible, which of course takes place after the tribulation, but before God's wrath is poured out. And all God's people said,
"Amen."
Whoa, no pre-tribbers here tonight, huh? If so, don't say anything. But anyway, somebody will be glad to explain it to you after the service. But in Luke 17, he compares it to the days of Lot for a reason. It's funny, when I was growing up, my dad's here tonight, he used to always say, "I don't think the end is yet," he said, "because it's not like it was in Sodom yet." And I remember thinking to myself, I don't think he's right about that. Because I read the story of Sodom, and I said, it's never going to be like that. So I thought, he's misinterpreting that. But you know what, Dad? You were right. Because you know what? It's starting to look like the days of Lot out there. I mean, I got off the airplane in Sacramento. I thought, yeah, it seemed like San Francisco. I got off the airplane in Sacramento, California this morning, and it was 2 minutes before I saw a dude walking through the airport with a skirt on. I mean, we're living in days that are getting to be like it was in the days of Lot. And you know what I think is so funny is when people attack us, Bible-believing preachers, and they say, "Oh, why do you preach about homosexuality so much? Why do you keep bringing that up? Why are you still fixated on that? Why are you bringing that up?" Hey, because it's being crammed down our throat every stupid day. Because not a day goes by that the TV and the magazines and the newspapers aren't cramming this trash down our throat. And you know what? We didn't pick this fight. The fight came to us. And you know what? I didn't write this book. And this book already predicted thousands of years ago that that's what would be happening.
Amen.
I mean, I didn't choose that, hey, in the end times, before the second coming of Christ, we're going to have to be ripping face about a bunch of perverts and homos, and that's going to be the big issue in America that everybody talks about every single day in America. Hey, I didn't choose that. I didn't even predict that. I thought my dad was wrong about that, okay? I didn't choose this fight. This fight has come to us. And you know what I say? Bring it on!
Yeah.
Hey, look, whatever fight the devil wants to bring me, bring it on. Because I'll preach any part of the Bible, and I'm not ashamed of any of it. I like all of it. But we didn't choose this.
Well, why do you make that your battle?
I didn't make that my battle. I preach 156 sermons a year. I preach every book of the Bible. I preach out of Genesis. I preach out of Exodus. I preach out of Leviticus. I preach out of Numbers. I preach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I preach on the gospel. I preach on heaven. I preach on hell. I preach on the deity of Christ. I preach on the Trinity. I preach on salvation by faith. I preach on the eternal security of the believer. I'm preaching on repentance. I'm preaching on this. I'm preaching on that. And then you preach on sodomy and all the cameras show up. I didn't choose that. They chose it because it fits their agenda. But you know what? They don't realize. They come in here because it fits their agenda, their little narrative, their brainwashing campaign that they're a part of, whether they know it or not or believe it or not. You know why they're here? They're here because their bosses want them here. And they're here to demonize Christianity. They're here to demonize God's people. But you know what? You can't even make us look. Take me out of context all you want. Because you know what? The stuff I say from the Bible is so true. Even out of context, I still like it. I still like it. I mean, even the TV pieces where they attack me and can you believe? Look, I'm watching all your guys' coverage of Pastor Jimenez. I got popcorn and I'm thinking, man, he looks good on there. Yeah, tell him. I like all of it. I like it all. And you know what? But these people in the media, they're so deluded. They think like, oh man, when we put this on TV, man, everybody's going to hate Pastor Jimenez. You know what they don't realize, Brother Jimenez, is that half the people in Sacramento are sitting at home and they're seeing you on TV and they're saying, hey, there's a guy with some guts. There's a guy who's finally telling it like it is. There's a guy that actually believes the Bible. And you know what? They just don't have the guts to say it. But they're sitting there at home, in the comfort of their home, saying, it's about time somebody told it like it is. That's what they're saying. So all the media is doing is just helping get the word of God out. And you know what? The Apostle Paul talked about how some people were spreading the word of God for the wrong motives. You know, he said they preach Christ even of envy and strife. They preach it of contention, trying to add affliction to our bonds, you know, trying to add persecution to us. But you know what? Hey, I just rejoice that people are hearing about Verity Baptist Church. Great. Because then they're going to tune in and they're going to get the gospel. They're going to get the soul winning. They're going to get everything else he preaches 95% of the time when he's not talking about perverts. All the other good stuff from the Bible, they're going to tune in. And then, you know, some of these cowards, once they see him go through the storm, once they see him stand tall, see, a lot of people are sitting at home right now just wanting to see how it's all going to turn out. They want, look, nobody wants to get on board with a loser, with a quitter. Now, I know you're not a loser. I know you're not a quitter, but they're sitting back and they're watching. And let me tell you something. He's going to be like a rock. Because he's founded on the rock. And I'm going to tell you something. When the battle's over, when the dust settles, and when the media's moved on to their next faggot-promoting story that they want to write, their next wicked, godless story to promote the downfall of morality in America, and when they go back to printing more smut and crap in their stupid newspaper and their stupid TV show and television, you know what? He's going to still be standing, and this church will just grow and grow and grow. And you know what? I already know. Hey, I've already been doing it. I went through this in Phoenix, Arizona 7 years ago, and you know what? Our church is bursting at the seams. We just can't knock out the walls fast enough to expand our auditorium, because you know what? People want the truth.